الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by thanking Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the many favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Indeed, the favors of Allah are so many upon us that we cannot enumerate and count them. Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try and count the favors of Allah, you would be unable to do so. It is a further ni'mat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that after bestowing favors upon us, despite the fact that we have not been able to sufficiently thank Allah for those favors, He did not snatch those favors away from us. He still kept those favors with us. And we further send darood and salam upon the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make an appeal on this time and this occasion that with utmost sincerity we recite darood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates whatever He wants and Allah ta'ala chooses. And Allah ta'ala grants superiority of one over the other. Allah Ta'ala has created many bondsmen and many human beings, but the superiority Allah Ta'ala has granted to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam to the other people is quite evident. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation that Allah Ta'ala creates, and then from there He gives one superiority over the other. In a similar manner, the way He has created superiority of one over the other in humankind, even amongst the months and the days and the nights of the year, He creates certain days, nights and months that are more superior over others. Inna iddat ash-shuhur 'inda Allah 12 shahran. Allah Ta'ala has created 12 months. Allah Ta'ala has made mention of it in the Quran. But we know that the month of Ramadan is the most virtuous amongst all those 12 months. Similarly, He has created so many nights in the year, but He has granted superiority of Laylatul Qadr, days in the week. He has made mention in the Yawm al-Jumu'ati Sayyidul Ayyam, the king of all the days. It is a leader of all the other days. In a similar manner, there are certain nights which Allah Ta'ala has granted superiority over others. Now that determination cannot be done by you and I. Which one is more superior than others? It's not a determination that you and I can do. Because our situation is such, if we have to go out tonight and go out tomorrow night, the horizon seems the same to us. We make no difference. For us, it seems the same horizon, the same moon. We can't make the difference between what is blessed and what is not blessed. So that is not a determination that is done by our emotions. It is a determination done by Allah. And that is why He says, I create whatever I want and then I choose. In a similar manner, there in this particular month that you and I are in, there is no doubt that this is a Mubarak and blessed month. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to keep very frequent fast in this month. So much so that the Sahaba ikram, who were so conscious to try and emulate every aspect of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they started asking the question, Ya Rasulullah, why do you frequently fast so much in this month? Is it added benefit in this month? Is there added blessedness in this month? And Nabi Kareem SAW, when he was asked this question, he replied and he said, "Oh Usama, yes. There is a month that comes between Rajab and Ramadan, which many people, they are neglectful with regard to the blessedness of it. And this is the month that in which the deeds of humankind are presented to Allah. And I wish that my deeds be presented while I'm in a state of fasting." So the entire month is a month of blessing. Then we come specifically to the 15th night of Sha'ban. And there is no doubt whatsoever that this is amongst those nights that has superiority over other nights. This is amongst those nights that has superiority. There are other nights, Laylatul Qadr for example, and there are other days. For example, in the 10th of Muharram, it is not so much the night, but it is the day that is blessed. So we have Yawm Ashura, the day of Ashura. Whereas on Qadr, we don't say Yawm Qadr, we say Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. Even with regard to the 15th of Sha'ban, we don't say the day of Sha'ban, but we say the night of Laylatul Nisfi min Sha'ban, the night of the middle of the month of Sha'ban. So it is a night that is virtuous. Now there are many people who sometimes have read certain books, etc., with regard to this aspect, and they come up and say, but you know, there are certain periodicals and certain pamphlets that they cast doubts and aspersion whether this night is in reality a night of blessings. Let me make mention that our ulama have clearly written and they have researched, and their own practice gives evidence to the fact that this is a blessed night. Many times people don't realize, they hear something, what they read, they do not understand fully what it is, but they quote this thing and said, but these are what they say, da'if hadith. They say it is weak. Now the problem that you and I sometimes we have, you see, words sometimes can have different interpretations. You know, the different interpretation. There was a king once who saw a dream, and in the dream he saw that all his teeth have fallen off. All the teeth have fallen out. So he asked one person, and he asked, "Give me the interpretation of this dream." So the interpretation was given that all your family members will die before you. All your family members, your children will die before you. So he got very angry because it wasn't put in the proper way. I mean, it's not a pleasant thing to be told all your family members will die in front of you in your sight, in front of your eyes. So being the king, he punished him. He said, "How can he dare say something like that to me? Go take him and punish him." Another person was called and he said the same dream. And he said, "Now give the interpretation." So the interpretation that was given, "Out of all your family members, you will live the longest." And he said, "Wah, wah, mashallah, mashallah, I'll give you a reward." So sometimes we hear something and our interpretation is very different. So when we speak of da'if, our understanding is weak in comparison, in the opposite of strength. When we speak of weak, our understanding is weak opposite to strength. But da'if in that particular way is, the literal meaning means weak, but it is not weak, comparative, or opposite to strength. It's a technical term. And this technical term, let me also clearly make mention, it is one of the strengths of this ummah. You see, how is this? You say something is da'if, it is weak, and yet you are saying it is a strength of this ummah. How can that be possible? Let me relate and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has loved his Nabi so much that Allah ta'ala has preserved every aspect of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. Wallah, I can sit on this mimbar and say, you and I, we don't know that much about our own parents the way we know about our Nabi. How much of us know how many white strands of hair there is in the beard of our father? Let us ask ourselves. We will say, no, we don't know. But my Sahaba, the companions, had so much love. They said, they even went to count the strands of hair, the white strands. And they said that Nabi Karim SAW had 17 strands of hair on his beard. In Shamail al-Tirmidhi, there is mention about the different attributes and the habits of Nabi Karim SAW. And that is one of the unique and one of the greatness of Nabi Karim SAW. Allah, we can say not one times, 100 times. There is no one here in this gathering who would like everything of his to be revealed to another person. I'm sitting here and I say this on oath. If what is in my heart and sometimes the thought that comes out, if it was revealed in front of you, you would not even spit in my direction. And that goes to perhaps each and every one of us. There are many thoughts that we have during the course of our life that are not noble. We have those thoughts. Sometimes thoughts of guna and sin comes into our hearts. And not everything of ours can be related to everyone. Not everything of ours can be related to anyone. There are certain skeletons in the cupboard of each and every one of us. That is a reality. No matter how pious he might apparently be, or in reality he might be. But together with it, he's a human being. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. We have created human being weak. But it is a miracle of our Nabi. It's a miracle of our Nabi. That when he related, and when he, one of the reasons why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married so many times, was that the private life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam be known to the Ummah till the day of Qiyamah. He didn't prevent his wife's, don't tell the people about this aspect of my life. You and I will do that. That is why the narrator about a very saintly person, people used to come far and wide with regard to benefiting from him. Wife never regarded him as anything. Wife used to say, these people are foolish people to come to you. I know your reality. But in reality, he was a pious person. So one day, the husband came into the room and came into the house. The wife said, you call yourself a pious person. Today I saw a pious person. He said, what happened? Who do you see? He said, our person was flying as a karamat. As a miracle, he was flying over the house. You call yourself a saint. You call yourself a pious person. Show me such a miracle. So the husband, as normally happens in the house, you know what I mean? He said, sheepishly, he said, that was your husband. He sheepishly said, that was your husband. So the wife immediately turned around and said, no wonder you were flying so crooked. This is the reality with regard to our wives. They don't regard the husband, no matter how pious he might be. But may we be sacrificed upon our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told his wives, tell everything you know about me. Everything you know about me. And what did they make mention with regard to the beauty of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's conduct and character? After receiving the first wahy, dizzy and frightened by the strange experience, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes home. He is worried whether he will be able to bear this responsibility. And who does he go to? You and I perhaps would have gone to our friends that we meet on Friday night. What did he go? He went to his wife. And he went to his wife, and that is how our relationship should be at home. We should be able to confide, and we should be able to share whatever concerns and anxiety we have to one another. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes home. Oh Aisha, oh Khadija, zambiluni. Cover me. I'm afraid. Inni khashitu ala nafsi. I'm afraid with regard to what has happened and transpired. This was not an ordinary woman. And she was not even young that was overtaken by emotions. She was at that time a very matured woman. And she covers Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a blanket. And then she says these beautiful words which have been immortalized in the books of Islamic history. What did she say? Kalla wallahi la yughzik Allahu abada. Oh Prophet, oh Muhammad, oh my husband. Allah will never disgrace you. Allah will never disgrace you. Wataksibul ma'adum, wataqri dhayf, watu'inu ala nawa'ibil haq. You are all the time bringing relatives closer together. You are all the time entertaining guests. You are all the time taking up noble causes. You are all the time speaking the truth. You are all the time helping the poor and the downtrodden. Whether people accept you or not, I as your wife am the first person to bear testimony. You are the Rasul of Allah. You are the messenger of Allah. What I'm saying is that this was the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything is like an open book. In Shamail al-Tirmidhi there are 52 chapters ranging from how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept, how he ate, what he did, how he walked, where he went, how he spent his time at home, how he spent his time outside. Allah has preserved the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the ways that he has done it is through the means of the muhaddithin, the pious and eminent ulama who had spent their entire life to gather every aspect of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. They went from door to door. They went from city to city. If they heard that one person got one hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to travel far and wide to go and listen to him. and when, what travels, and where and where they traversed. You know, Baqi ibn Mukhallad was one of the muhaddith of Spain, the time when that Spain was under Islamic authority and Islamic Khilafat. He learned hadith from all the scholars of Spain. And then he said, let me go out. He traveled from Spain to Baghdad, walking all the way. When he came to Baghdad, they say, he asked the people, who is the greatest alim in Baghdad? They say, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He said, where he is? He said, the king has imprisoned him, house arrest. He said, I haven't come all the way from Spain to come and benefit from the ulama, and I can't. So he made up a plan. And his plan was, at the time of noon, when people used to rest in the Middle East countries, he went and knocked at the door, and he posed as a beggar. And when Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi came out, he said, I am not a beggar, I have come to Spain to listen and to benefit from your knowledge. So every day at the time of noon, he used to pose as a beggar and go to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and used to learn few chapters of knowledge from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. This is how he learned knowledge. Asad bin Furad rahmatullahi came to hear about Imam Muhammad, that he had a very great scholar. So what he did was, he came to Imam Muhammad and said, teach me some knowledge. He said, Imam Muhammad said, I got no time. Whole day is taken. So he said, no, I have to. You have to teach me. So Imam Muhammad said, at the time of wuzu of tahajjud, there is no one who is with me. You come that time, I will teach you some knowledge. Asad bin Furad said, I used to remain awake whole night, that I don't miss those few moments that I could glean from the knowledge of Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi. This is how the knowledge of Islam has been preserved. And so the muhaddith, they went from town to town, city to city. They set up an entire structure of knowledge which is known as Asma'ul Rijal. Asma'ul Rijal means the dictionary of the biographers. Every person who narrated one saying from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have made mention about his condition, his piety, his character, his conduct, his integrity, his memory, to such an extent that they have gone to such extent. There is a certain person who in his young days, he was very good in his memory. Towards the end of his life, he was not so good in his memory. Therefore, what you have heard from him when he was young, you accept it. What you have heard from him towards the end of his life, treat it with caution. That is how the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to us. We read the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For us, it is like reading a storybook. There is a whole effort. There is a humongous type of heritage that comes with every hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What I'm saying is, when we grade this hadith in terms of authenticity, that is our strength. It is our strength that we have been able to relate and preserve